Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Skincare with Friends.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends. My name is Nia Patton. I am a part-time dentist, part-time esthetician, and part-time skincare expert on the internet and full-time mother and dog's body.
You're everything. Hi, I'm Natalie. I'm Nia's friend. I've been interested in skincare probably since 2017. No, when did we start this podcast? 2018.
18 maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So. Yes. I'm soon to start my own online shop too, selling mainly Korean sunscreen. But, you know, I also work full-time and I'm a mother full-time too. So we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah. Well done for you for doing it and starting it.
Well done for you.
Well done, us.
I've got a Sol beer tonight. Have you got anything to drink?
I've got my usual Carver, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't change.
Nia's been feeling pretty shitty, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had a cold for like a week. I had my fourth COVID vaccination today, which is probably a stupid idea because I'm not that well. But I did it because it was like, yeah, let's get that out of the way with. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
Oh dear, maybe it's not going to be fine. But maybe never mind. Isn't. Anyway, I'm going to enjoy a little podcast now because we're going to talk about pores again.
Oh, but specifically.
Yeah, comedogenicity.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this because I've just done my little experiment earlier today too. So really looking forward to it.
So that was Natalie's homework to try out the fiddy snails routine that we talked about last time. Mm-hmm. And how did it go?
I mean, kind of a bit wasted on me really because I don't really have lots of blocked pores or blackheads or really oily skin at all. However, I then looked at my boyfriend who's got all of those things and I just attacked him as he was on the sofa and he was like, do I have to do anything? I said, no, just sit there.
Oh my god, cool.
Pour stuff all over your face. So I started off with a BHA exfoliant liquid, which I left on for about 25 minutes. Then I made a Rasool clay mask.
Cool.
Popped that on the top. Left it for 10 in a really thick paste as well because someone was saying to me, I just put it on Instagram stories and someone messaged to say, don't let it dry. The reason it dries your skin out is because you're letting it dry and that's wrong.
It shouldn't go that far.
You should not go that far, no. Okay. So put it on a nice thick paste, don't let it dry. So really thick paste, put it on him for 10 minutes. And then I don't have a cleansing oil anymore actually, I'm all out. So I just plastered his face in borage seed oil. For 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then we massaged it off and it was beautiful. It was a sight to behold. I want to do it all the time.
Did stuff come out?
Stuff came out. You could feel it. He was like, oh my God, the grits. I can feel the grits. So the oil's left on for about 15 minutes. Does fiddy snails counsel. And then massage it in sort of circular motions. Don't overdo it because you don't really want to piss your skin off. Because it's, you know, kind of putting your skin through it a little bit there, aren't you?
Yeah, I found that it was getting a bit sore. I don't know if I enjoy this.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Have you done it again recently?
No, I haven't. But my skin is not great at the moment, acne-wise.
Okay.
I don't think it could cope. I think it would be very upset with me.
Yeah, fair enough. But Hayden does have sort of blackheads and quite enlarged pores, and the difference was marked. I got the macro lens out and I got right in there. So I'm looking forward to putting some pictures. He still does have quite a few left on the nose, and I said to him, it's almost as if they've come to the surface. And we've not quite left that clay on long enough.
Oh my God.
So
he's like glowing like a newborn baby.
This is the really annoying thing about these guys that don't do anything to their skin. As soon as you treat it once it glows and it responds in such a way, kind of like it does when you first got into skincare, right? I mean, I remember using the things that you taught me to use, and you know, the skin was so beautiful, but it never ever got that beautiful again.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Like the first time I started using lactic acid, it was like, oh my God.
Lactic acid especially. Yeah. Yes.
The best skin I've ever had in my whole life. It's so clear and smooth. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. Mm-hmm. I thought that, that my life was going to be a clear, smooth life, and it wasn't.
No.
Exactly. It's not that simple. No.
It's not that simple. So yeah, that's why it was quite nice to do this treatment, because even though for me this sort of the this Fiddy Snails treatment, you're supposed to feel, literally feel the grits of all the detritus from your pores having been sort of pulled out by these different methods. And actually, I have to say, because I've not done it before, it did feel really wonderful. My skin feels absolutely lovely now. And it's kind of, because I've got this Rasool clay that I just didn't like because I found it too drying. It's kind of given me a really nice reason to actually use it now.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, you can just do that every few weeks, just as a little extra cleanse.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, like Nia said, we are talking full on blackheads and, you know, minimizing pores, and also talking about comedogenic.
Comedogenic. Yeah. Comedogenicity.
How pore blocking things are, basical. That is what it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. How much things will block your pores. Because it's one of those things that you'll see written around, you know, non-comedogenic is written on lots of, you know, anti-acne skincare. So you think, oh, cool, that's not going to block my pores. You'll see non-comedogenic written on all sorts of different products, mainly aimed at acne sufferers. And yeah, I was just wondering, what does that mean? Does it mean anything? Can we rely on those words? And you'll see other, you know, beauty influencers saying that it's nonsense. So I wanted to just look at the actual science and find out whether it is nonsense or not.
Okay.
So that I did at length, as usual, and found out loads of stuff. If you search for non-comedogenic, you might find sites like Skin Charisma and CosDNA. Have you ever spent any time on those places?
CosDNA, I have. Skin Charisma, no, I haven't.
No, it's quite good. It's like a bit more in-depth than CosDNA, a bit more modern. So yeah, you'll get on these sites, you'll get a breakdown of the ingredients of a product, and each ingredient will be given a score for, I think it's safety, irritation, and comedogenicity.
Okay.
So it'll give you a score of 0 to 5. You think, well, if the product's got some scores of 4 and 5, then maybe if you've got acne, you should give that a miss.
Right.
So yeah. So basically, comedogenicity means that the ingredient will cause a block pore or the start of a spot.
Got you.
Yeah. So, you know, this scoring system should be really useful knowledge for acne sufferers. So you want to sort of like avoid these high scoring ingredients, and you'll be safe from Acne Cosmetica, which is product induced acne.
Okay.
But yeah, it seems that things are not as simple as that, unfortunately. No.
Okay.
So, you know, I find that one of the most annoying parts of acne is not knowing why I'm getting spots. It's really frustrating. Yeah. So you're thinking, well, it might be something I'm using, or maybe it's something I'm using and I'm just having a purge and the spots will go away if I just carry on. Or maybe it's just hormones and that's that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good to know whether these comedogenicity ratings are going to be any use in helping you find out whether a product is a flare-causing ingredient or if it's just all a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
When you see non-comedogenic written on a product, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Actually, it doesn't mean anything.
Right. That's helpful.
Yeah, I know. So the term non-comedogenic is not regulated, and anyone can legally display it on their product. You know.
Why would you be such a dick?
why would you do that?
Yeah,
I know.
Don't lie. This is the thing as well, because obviously then if you use that product and then you have a flare-up, you think, well, it couldn't possibly be that product because it's non-comedogenic.
No. Yeah.
But in actual fact, that's a big lie.
May not agree with your skin at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically there's different tests you can do, and they're quite expensive. And some of them involve animals, which isn't legal anymore. So they can't do these tests because they're incredibly expensive. So, you know, they look at the ingredients in their product and they say, oh, that none of them are high scoring ingredients, so our product isn't comedogenic. They haven't actually tested the finished product on human beings or animals to see whether it is comedogenic or not. So it's probably it hasn't got pure coconut oil in it, so it's probably not comedogenic.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all
that
it means.
That doesn't say anything about the finished product, does it?
No. Yeah, so disregard that comment. Okay. So what do the comedogenicity experiments involve? So I've got a picture here to show Natalie of some rabbit ears. Poor bunnies.
Oh, poor bunnies.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not a particularly painful experiment for them, if it's any comfort. It's just having some skincare ingredients put in their ears and then photographed.
Okay.
But yeah, still, it's incredibly bad. And
it is.
Fortunately, this is not done anymore. I wouldn't have said. I hope not.
No. So they use a minimum of 3 rabbits for each substance and apply whatever they were testing at around 10% concentration.
Yes, that's it.
5 to 7 times a week for 2 weeks. Oh.
Yeah. Ouch. For bunnies, initial experiments were performed in 1972 by Kligman and Mills. Do you recognise the name Kligman?
No.
He's a very important skincare scientist. His name is on a lot of important studies.
Right, so, okay, well, you read studies for breakfast, I don't.
I do, yeah. It's like, oh, it's Kligman, wonderful. Ha ha ha, Kligman.
As soon as you said Kligman, I thought of the actor that played Quincy Endy.
Did you?
I think that's his name in real life. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is he the Kligman?
It could be. Can you imagine?
Rabbit ear fame.
So not only just wrote loads of studies and was involved in them, but also had time to be an actor playing a pathologist.
Yeah. Quincy, no less.
Anyway, sorry, not him.
No, not him. Not Quincy. Mm-mm. Kligman himself. Okay. They had ingredients and 3 rabbits for each ingredient, applied the ingredient about 10% to the rabbit's ear, and for 5 times a week for about 2 weeks. And then they looked at the sites, compared it with the opposite ear, which they hadn't treated. And they saw how many blackheads and how many little tiny spots and block pores there were, and gave them a score of either 0 to 3 or 0 to 4 at that point. So yeah, the scoring system varies. So they had a big table of things and decided which ones caused block pores. Okay. So there was loads and loads of different chemicals. I'm not going to bore everyone by naming all of these chemicals, because quite a lot of them you'll never have heard of.
Okay.
You know, like fatty alcohols and things like that.
All right.
But yeah, I'll give you a nice little list of which ones have scored high in a minute.
Okay.
This is what Catullus et al. Had to say about the experiments in 1996. Studies comparing the rabbit ear analysis with human tests have indicated that the results are in correspondence, but rabbit ear analysis is far more sensitive. So basically, when they did the same studies, exactly the same experiments on human backs, they had less block pores than they did the rabbit ears.
Okay.
So rabbit ears are very cloggy and they're going to get blocked very easily. Okay. Substances scoring 0 in the rabbit ear analysis are safe for humans. those scoring one are unlikely to be comedogenic. Mm-hmm. Substances scoring two or three are possibly comedogenic. Okay. However, there's a lot of criticism for rabbit ear analysis. Sometimes the results are conflicting, even under the same experimental conditions. Factors such as concentration, physical state, solvency, and vehicle must be taken into account. In conclusion, rabbit ear analysis is a useful method to establish comedogenicity, but we reserve judgment on its prophetic value. So basically, it depends what the stuff is in.
Yeah.
You know, if something's dissolved in an oil or alcohol or water, it's going to give a different result.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you'd imagine.
Yes. Well, yes, quite. Okay. And so it's only then when the ingredients flag as comedogenic that they get human testing.
Yeah.
So they had to come up with another technique in 1982 where the test material was applied.
Yes.
To the back, right? Okay, it's four tests. I just, do you know what? It just makes my skin feel itchy. Yeah. Tests. I don't know why.
I know these people sort of put up with this nonsense.
So it's already been flagged as comedogenic. I'd be like, oh, get off my! I don't want blackheads on my back.
Thanks. No, I know. Mm. What were they putting on? You know, there was acetylated lanolin alcohols. Sounds pretty grim. Red veterinary petrolatum. Sodium thiosulfate. Actually, that's fine. There's no comedogenicity for either rabbits or humans with that one.
Right.
Whatever the hell it is. Ain't never heard of that.
Nope.
Nah. Basically, yeah, they did human tests and they put some of the whatever it was on the back, upper back of young adult men who already had some blackhead issues 3 times a week. For 4 weeks in 4 test areas, one of them serving as an untreated control. So, you know, a patch of blank back that they could just compare it to.
Okay.
This assay is not a substitute for rabbit analysis because it's more time consuming and less cost effective. But the results are consistent with those of the rabbit analysis. Okay. So, yeah, the substances that block the pores in the rabbit's ears also block the pores of the men's backs.
Okay.
Yeah, so the tests are probably too sensitive, basically.
Yeah.
Because you're applying a 10% solution, so it's quite a high percentage of the stuff. Men's backs, they're putting the stuff on and then covering it. So that's not a normal thing to do.
Why wouldn't they put it on sort of, I don't know, the line of the jaw or somewhere?
Yeah. Somewhere normal. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that faces sort of exposure as well, a little bit.
I guess. Rabbit's ear would. Because they were using lots of different things, so they needed a larger area.
Oh, I see. Yeah, of course.
I would think. You know, it's quite a big, easily accessed part of the body. And if they wanted to cover it as well, to make sure that the stuff stayed on there for a certain period of time.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, you know, you're generally in whatever skincare you're using, the ingredients are in lower concentrations than 10% usually.
Yeah.
Apart from when you're using pure plant oils.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because it's pure.
It is 100%. So do you remember we did an episode about Sam Bunting?
Yes.
Yeah. And she was saying, because she's not a dermatologist, but she treats skin, she was saying that her and a lot of her colleagues were seeing blocked pores in people who were using pure plant oils every day, and she told people, she's like telling all her patients to stop doing it because that's what's giving them the blocked pores. And I think that sort of makes sense, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah. So you don't use them now as a result, do you?
No, it put me off because, you know, I get really block pores really easily.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to mess with that. I didn't. Yeah. When I did use pure plant oil, I didn't find it very beneficial. I just found that they didn't soak in and my face was just oily until I washed it. It didn't give me anything that I was looking for. I was like, this is weird. When's it going to soak in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel our skin types are different, but I feel I bought borage seed oil for the first time, and it's the first time I'd had an oil probably for about 18 months. It's, you know, it's been a long, long time since I've used one.
Yeah.
And the only reason I think, oh no, I really could do with this is really just as a sort of tonic to the really drying,
yeah,
sort of high strength tretinoin and hydroquinone that I've got on. So I wouldn't apply it all around my face. I'd only apply it into the areas where that have seen such, you know, dryness and irritation, I guess. But yeah, as a day, as something to nourish my skin in the day, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't be using it either.
Because it doesn't go in as such. But yeah, I can see that if you've got dry skin, it would be a lovely thing to have on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the side note you've put in. Are you going to read that out?
I was thinking of not reading it out because it's so bad.
It just made me laugh.
Yeah. I had a text from a friend who's a listener as well. Hi. I'm not allowed to say a name.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's,
she said...
That's when you know it's juicy.
Yeah. she went to see Sam Bunting for an appointment. And I was like, oh my God, what was that like? And she said, I don't like her, to be honest. She mentioned Sienna Miller and her fancy holidays within seconds and then looked dead behind her consistently dead eyes. Like, oh, ouch.
Oh, okay, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no one likes a name dropper. I mean, come on.
No.
Fair enough.
But, no, indeed.
But you do take her professional opinion on board.
I guess if she sees skin every single day and she knows what people are using.
What is she a doctor of then? Sorry.
She's just a normal doctor.
I'm just a regular doctor.
Yeah, and she's just sort of taken up with skincare, which is fine, I think. Because, you know, actually dermatologists don't learn about skincare. That they learn about skin cancer and psoriasis and pre-cancer. It's not about, like, I think everyone's, you know, thinks that dermatologists are like the font of all skin knowledge. Well, but they're dealing with much more serious conditions than the things that we're talking about.
Do you know what? That's a really good point. And I probably wouldn't have thought about that.
Yeah.
I would have said absolutely a dermatologist would be the fountain of all knowledge, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they, you know, they think skincare is much of a muchness. Just as long as you're wearing sunscreen.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, now we get into lists. Oh, I just love lists. Okay.
Do you like a list?
Yeah, I love a list.
Yeah. So, you know, reading those studies, there were a few ingredients and, you know, things that kept popping up. So I thought I'd make a little list of them so I could tell you about them. Mm-hmm. So things to be wary of, clog-wise, comedogenicity-wise, we have number one, makeup. So red pigments kept coming up in these studies, depending on what they're dissolved in.
Yeah, I do, because one of the studies was done in 1989, I keep thinking of the really super harsh, thick red blusher that you could see a visible line, almost like...
I love that.
Like drag queen makeup.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? So really super airbrushed red blusher. And I'm just thinking, yeah, no shit.
Rouge.
That would clog your pores. Yeah. Exactly. Good old-fashioned rouge. But that's really interesting. So if you are getting issues in the upper cheek area, let's have a look at the blusher or bronzer.
Yeah, it might be that. So
also, can I just say, I know it's a really obvious one, but clean your bloody brushes.
I'm terrible for that.
Oh. So I have got terrible recently, but I've got really bad at wearing makeup recently. But I make it a thing with my daughter and me.
Yes.
We used to have like Sunday night brush cleaning. In the lovely vegan soap that Spectrum do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the lovely soap, and it's got like the silicone thing in the lid as well where you can
rinse
the brushes. Yeah, it's really cool. But yeah, like, please. I saw some really gross Petri dishes.
Oh my God. I wonder if I could get a Petri dish with some medium in it and stick my brushes in.
Can you? Please, let's do that. I love stuff like this.
I need to make friends with a microbiologist.
Yes.
Right now.
And we need to do ones for droppers touching the skin as well, because they are disgusting.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry. That was a bit of an aside.
Yeah. No, it's a good aside. Well done. Yeah.
Thanks.
So heavy plant butters, like cocoa butters.
Yeah. So cocoa butter is definitely the most maligned when it comes to comedogenicity, isn't it?
Yep.
It is, you know, it is 5 on the scale, isn't it?
Yes, it
the
is.
Cocoa butter.
So at that, I would give a miss. Clogging. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if you're already using it and you're not getting any block pores, then crack on. It's fine.
Okay.
But, you know, if you're trying to figure out what's causing your blackheads and you're using cocoa butter, then I'd probably, cut that one out.
Okay.
Yeah. Oils. So pure plant oils, like I said, the most comedogenic oils were cocoa butter and coconut oil. So yeah, avoid coconut oil. I know it got very fashionable for a bit to use coconut oil on your skin.
For everything.
Yeah. Comedogenic oils include sesame, corn, avocado, evening primrose oil, mink oil. I don't know what that is.
Oh, God.
From a mink?
I hope not.
Soybean oil and cottonseed oil.
Okay.
The least comedogenic oils included olive oil, sandalwood seed oil, almond, apricot kernel, and mineral oil.
Do you know what? I am going to say I'm actually quite shocked that the least was the olive oil was among the least.
Yeah, I know. You'd imagine that would be bad, wouldn't you? Really bad.
I would put it up with cocoa butter. Mm. That's really, really strange. So good to know. And fans of J-Lo's skincare line will obviously be over the moon because apparently that's all she ever used on her skin.
Yeah. So,
not Botox or fillers.
No, never. Of course never. Not J-Lo. She wouldn't do that.
No. Okay, so that's really... And so a non-comedogenic oils are safflower oil, sunflower and mineral oil.
There's a few studies I read that, you know, different things had different scores. I think olive oil had a score of 0 in one and 2.5 in another one.
Okay.
It varies from person to person, from creature to creature, I think. So it's just a very, very personal thing, what blocks your pores. So this is just a guide.
Yeah.
It doesn't really mean anything, because you might find safflower oil block your pores like crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Don't listen to us too much. This is just what the studies have said.
Yeah.
But everyone's different. Yeah. Soaps, bar soaps specifically. Yeah, so this is what Mills and Clickman said in 1975. Conventional soaps include salts of fatty acids, and the latter are known comedogens. The obsessive use of soaps by patients with acne vulgaris may aggravate the disease and result in its extension to unusual locations.
That sounds pretty ominous.
Unusual.
Yes. It does.
Yeah.
This is very strange what you've put here next. So some ingredients which have a great skincare record show up in these comedogenicity tables rather confusingly. Vitamin E, tocopherol, vitamin A, retinol, and salicylic acid. Make of that what you will. Quite surprising. Yeah.
So retinol and salicylic acid have comedogenicity of 2, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, maybe the thing you're using to try and cure your acne is blocking your pores.
Well, especially the salicylic acid. I'm kind of surprised by that.
It's just very confusing. And, you know, you can just maybe just disregard that piece of information I just gave you. Because just for ease of getting on with your life.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really make any sense, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just goes to show that maybe this is all nonsense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I collated a list that was on acne.org. Acne.org have quite useful information about acne and pores. So the ingredients that showed up in multiple rabbit ear studies are linseed oil, cocoa butter, butyl stearate, oleic acid, acetylated lanolin alcohol, lanolin acid, coconut oil, isopropyl mistrate, isopropyl isostearate, isopropyl linolate, myristil lactate, myristil myristate, isopropyl palmitate, Loroth 4, oleyl alcohol, and octyl palmitate.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. See, I told you they were annoying and boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, it's a good list, and I'm sure it will come in very. Some people will find that very useful.
Yeah. So, you know, people who are being, who are really, really struggling with their acne might want to look at that list and try and remove those things from their skincare diet. But yeah, that would be tough. I don't know if many of them are very common because they don't look familiar to me.
No.
No. Lanolin?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well,
yeah.
I will check my inky lists right now, as soon as we stop recording.
Sure.
Not really.
So one of the questions I keep seeing that people saying they shouldn't use Vaseline on their skin, or they should use Vaseline on their skin. So I wanted to find out, does Vaseline block the pores? And the answer is no. Put it simply. Like, now I've confused you with lots of things, I'll just answer the question simply. It doesn't. There is evidence that it doesn't. So we can breathe easy on that one anyway. Thank God.
Right. So, because I did wonder where that came from, and I've just seen further reading. Yes. But I assumed where that came from was purely to do with the texture of the actual product itself. It feels like it would.
Yes.
It's so very
so heavy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the molecules of it are actually quite big, and they shouldn't actually be able to get into your pores. So no.
I'm using it a lot at night time. I say a lot, maybe like twice a week I'll put it on.
Yeah, and that's what flipping Natalia Spearing says to use.
It is. I still need to buy her book. 200 pages on Vaseline, but
maybe it's great, you know.
Yeah, I'll buy it and tell you. So you're saying here the rumor about it being so pore cloggy is because the 1972 study by Kligman Vaseline as the most likely petrolatum product to cause blocked pores. So he did much more recent research himself in the 90s. Is he still around?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'll have to find out.
This is not the case. So he went back and used a different, more real life test to find out if his original findings held any water. No, they didn't. Good for you, Dr. Kligman.
Yes.
I'm just, you know. Yeah. You know, we'll learn.
He wasn't bullheaded enough not to double check his findings from 1972.
So they used 10 acne-prone teenagers and applied Vaseline to their entire face for 8 weeks, and their acne actually improved.
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
And Kligman said, the chemical structure determines comedogenicity, and as yet, acnegenicity cannot be predicted by structure. The mechanism underlying comedogenicity is unknown. Why corneocytes stick to each other and form horny impactions is still a mystery. God love him. So basically, the man who invented the concept of comedogenicity says it's very mysterious.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be this, but it may not be.
Okay. Yeah. And he also said in that study, he said that it's probably not the Vaseline that cured these teenagers' acne. It was probably just the fact that they were moisturising, which they probably hadn't been doing before because they're teenagers.
Right,
so just having any kind of skincare routine was helpful to them.
Yeah.
And, helped with their acne. But it didn't make it worse, which is what they were trying to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So go for it with the Vaseline, should you wish.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do wish.
Yes. Good. I haven't actually got any Vaseline. Maybe I should get some. I've got mineral oil, which is pretty much like a liquid form of Vaseline.
Yeah, I've got sort of Aquaphor, which is a few
similar
things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aquaphor's got nice ingredients in it as well, isn't it?
Isn't it got it's got some nice ingredients.
Yeah, sounds good.
It used to be good as sort of put it on your face before you go for a run in the cold.
Yeah.
And have all flies stick to it. So.
Yeah. Like a human flypaper.
Like windscreen. Yeah. So should we pay attention to the comedogenic rating? Not so much, you're saying.
Yeah. So the studies are old and they overstress the comedogenicity of ingredients. These ingredients are not in pure form. Substances have a completely different effect when they're within a product rather than, you know, in a 10% solution with one other ingredient. Mm. So, you know, that's not how skincare works in your home. So a lady called Zoe Draelos, who is very important in the world of skincare science, you might not know, you probably haven't heard of it, but she's...
No, I haven't.
She's amazing. She did a study called The Re-Evaluation of the Comedogenicity Concept in 2006. And I'm sure everyone who reads studies does this, but I just scroll to the very end of the study to see what the last bit says.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, what was it all about? Okay, I get it. So the last sentence was, finished products using comedogenic ingredients are not necessarily comedogenic. Yes. And so to find that out, what she did was she did comedogenicity testing on humans using skincare products that contain comedogenic ingredients. So this is a really useful study. And no, the skincare wasn't comedogenic.
Well.
Yeah. It had things in it that were comedogenic. So, you know, let's have a look. I've got a lovely table here. So, yeah. So, say this chemical called isopropyl isostearate. At 100%, it had a comedogenic rating of 4. So if you just apply that to your skin, it's pretty comedogenic. But when it's at 5%, it's 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't really work.
No.
No.
It doesn't. And so really it's, you know, it's for things like you've said before that would really be applying to your face in very high concentrations. So an oil.
Yes. Yeah.
Really. Okay.
Indeed. Yeah.
Well, good for Zoe. Thanks, Zoe, for that.
Yeah. That's a really handy piece of information. So we really, really don't need to worry about it at all. Unless, plant oils probably do. Yeah. So, you know, where does that leave us? What do we do next?
We don't worry. Dr. Klicker and Zoe said don't worry too much.
No.
We don't really know why.
And
Vaseline isn't bad. So that's a great takeaway.
Yes.
But obviously there are still things that you can do if you have block pores and you don't.
Yes, there is. Yeah. So, you know, you could go back and listen to our last episode for the product recommendations that we gave and also try Fiddy Snail's grit technique. You could think about trying to avoid high risk ingredients if you're very prone to clogged pores. And maybe, you know, if there's a product that's giving you clogged pores, maybe there is an ingredient inside that that you really don't agree with.
Yeah.
So you could look at it that way. Like I've seen people online saying, I can't use products containing la 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 ingredient because it clogs my pores. And I'm like, wow, that is very specific. How on earth do you know that? But some people
really,
yeah, are that attentive to their skin and their ingredient lists.
It's kind of amazing that they'd, you know, obviously, if it's something that really bothers you, you would just go and say, right, but I'm just going to do a process of elimination and see what's what. Like, we have some pretty committed members, don't we, of the Skincare mm-hmm. with Friends Facebook group who ask questions like that. There's one person in particular, isn't it, who's said, like, I can't use this because I know 100% that this gives me blackheads.
Yeah.
You know, so they've really done the research on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes it's things that really surprise you, I guess.
Mm. So when you're looking at the ingredients list, the higher the percentage of the chemical, the more likely it is to cause a problem. Mm. Like with that Zoe Draelos study, it's, you know, the comedogenicity went down gradually with the percentage of the stuff. So, you know, if something's in a high percentage, then, yeah, that might be a problem.
Yeah.
You could try patch testing on your acne-prone areas to see what happens. That might be helpful. But then if you've already bought the product, that's not going to be that useful because you've wasted your money.
Just use it on your arms, legs or chest or something.
Yeah. It's why the Ordinary is quite good, because you've got a 365-day guarantee that you can just send them back.
Oh, have you? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's quite handy. I think
I've ever had to send anything back. That's
no,
I
wouldn't bother either, because they're cheap.
No.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, but you know, you could do that if you wanted to. Yeah, so it's always a good idea to start products one at a time if you've got acne, particularly. People in in my Ordinary subreddit and on the Facebook group just buy so many different things, and then they don't know what they are. And they don't know when to use them or why they're using them. And they just sling them all on their face. And then they come back a week later saying, I've got a rash. And they're like, yeah, you have.
I can't. This is why I'm not on the
no.
Some of the I'm definitely not on Reddit, but,
no.
You know, some of the Facebook groups. Because I just think, oh my God, why did you buy it if you didn't know what it did for a start?
Yeah, why did you buy 3 acids? Stupid.
I mean, I would say my 2018 routine was pretty over the top.
Oh no.
Perhaps. And now I just can't, you know, now it's just like four things.
Yeah.
So I kind of get the excitement, but yeah, I wouldn't buy anything that I kind of didn't know what it did.
No.
So yes, once at a time is a very good piece of advice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the thing is with the Ordinary is it's got that £25 and then you get free delivery, so you do buy a bunch of things. But
yeah,
I mean, do they all have to be acids, really?
yeah, exactly. Just buy one Neod thing, that'll get you over £25 straight away.
Yep. I'm still gutted that the Hyalamide is gone. Nothing's gonna replace it.
The website doesn't look the same. What's going on? But like you said, if they've got that, they have that formulation, they're not just going to throw it away, are they, right?
They're going to put it
into a Neod product or an Ordinary product.
Fingers bloody crossed.
Well, especially like the eye serum, because they don't really have anything. Like Deciem doesn't really do that. Does the fractionated eye contour concentrate, which is completely not that at all.
No.
So it definitely needs an eye serum.
I don't know, it's really sad.
But anyway, TK Maxx or TJ Maxx.
Yeah, I went yesterday and they didn't. It seems to be gone now.
Oh, really? My friend went yesterday and...
Really?
She might have bought the last few then.
Yeah.
maybe it's not. Shame. You
know, maybe it's going. They've run out of stock. I don't know. Gutted.
Oh, I know. That's really sad. Hyalamide was lovely.
It was perfect. It was really handy sort of middle ground.
Yes.
So some of the things from the Ordinary I couldn't recommend because it's like buffet. I wouldn't recommend that to a friend, even though it's a good idea and it's got loads of great ingredients. I'm like, well, go for Hyalamide for that because it's much nicer, the sub-Q skin.
Yeah, do you know what? I actually have, so I bought two sub-Q skins. Yeah. Obviously, panic bought them. And then I thought, oh, no, these would be Christmas gifts. And I've changed my mind. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't
They're
love
mine.
That much. Then
no, because they don't know what it is.
No.
And they're going to be like, oh, that, where did you get that thing you bought me? I want
exactly
more.
That's exactly how I talked myself out of it. I was like, they don't give a shit. They're going to
You're just going to break somebody's heart.
Yeah. No, no, no. I don't think even that. I just don't think they will care that much. It'd be like, thanks for this serum that I couldn't tell the difference between that and Revolution Skin. And then I'd be annoyed. I'd be like, you know what? I've just gifted you.
Revolution Skin. That's so bitchy and funny.
I mean, I am being bitchy, but I've never actually used Revolution Skin. It just looks too dupey to be trustworthy.
Yeah. No, they, you know, they started by copying the ordinary like ingredient list almost identically. And then the, like the, some of the, they've like expanded the range and like snuck in some fragrance into different things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They can't help themselves. They've got to make things smell nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's getting bitched about a little bit at the moment? Oh, is the Inky List?
Oh,
quite a bit by some, you know, some influencers.
Oh,
I don't
really
know why. They're just not liking the texture of that. They seem to be releasing things all the time. So do you remember they had quite a pared down line, didn't they?
Yeah.
And now they just seem to do everything. But it was one product.
Smashing things
out. Find it.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah, there's been a couple of skincare pieces in news. I was like, oh my God, there's been a couple of celebrity skincare lines. Have you seen?
Don't. Are you talking Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt and his... Travis Barker.
Oh, and this is what someone said, and it's so true. If Travis Barker had come out with a line of tattoo protective skincare,
yes,
that would
That's
totally
exactly what
make
I
sense.
Thought. Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Mm.
And if Brad Pitt, who owns a vineyard, so everything is grape obsessed. He's obsessed with grapes and grape antioxidants. So there'll be plenty of resveratrol in all of his products. But he was like, refillable. Have you seen what the products look like, the actual packaging?
Yeah,
it's
they're
bark
stupid.
On, it's stupid. Bark. It's bloody stupid. And it looks unrefillable as shit. And someone has said Travis Barker's is just cannabinoids. That's all there is in his. Just
oh my God,
cheap shitty CBD and the serums like start at $130 or whatever.
That's bonkers. Yeah, Brad Pitt's ones were like $300.
Stupid bastard.
I'm like, what's wrong with people? Why? Well, I guess they're just like somebody has told them you should start a skincare line. That's what everyone's doing.
And I do think
money.
Yeah, and I also think it's really unfair on, because you can't tar all celebrity skincare with the same brush. So I think there are some that have obviously, like Fenty Skin seems to be pretty well researched. It's a pretty pared down range. As does Hailey Bieber's Rode. That looks really nice.
Okay, I haven't
seen
that. And
the products look really nice as well. And again, obviously you have, you know, she apparently she's, you know, really did her research. She didn't just go to a chemist and be like, hey, I want skincare and just put my name on it. So she seems to be. So I think there are people who are truly involved in the concept. And then there are people who just, I don't know, a bit bored. Brad Pitt's bored, you know.
Yeah.
He's his kids anymore. And he's just like, oh, fuck it. I'm
what should I do
this.
Now?
Yeah.
Just somebody's giving him an idea and he's going, all right, then, fine, whatever.
Okay, fine.
Oh my God.
Don't, I mean, we're preaching to the converted. Yeah. I don't think any people listen to us.
They wouldn't buy Brad Pitt skincare.
No. Or
no.
Travis Barker's. Would you or would you? Tell us if
Who
you would.
Who would? Can we? Know. Yeah. No, don't do that. No, you don't need to spend lots of money on skincare. You absolutely shouldn't. It's a waste of money. Really.
Yeah, it really is. And the boring thing is, like anything, like eating healthily or being fit, it's all about boring old consistency. That
yes.
is it, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. Consistency.
The only thing.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you need? Tretinoin, sunscreen, hydration. That doesn't need to cost a lot. Don't over cleanse your skin, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a big one. If I could just turn back time, I would stay out of the sun. But, you know,
that's everything. I know. I did start using sunscreen quite early, but it wasn't
did
early
you?
Enough. Well, yeah, I was in my 20s.
I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
But it was after the fateful falling asleep on the beach in Thailand incident.
Oh, fuck, Jesus Christ.
Which my skin slid off the next day. It was awful.
Oh my God.
I remember waking up and screaming at my boyfriend at the time, going, why did you let me do that? You watched me. Oh my God.
Like abuse. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I'm really good friends with someone and she's really bad, but she is so beautiful and she's got the most amazing colouring. And she's got fiery red hair. She's absolutely stunning. And she just keeps putting photos up of her on holiday. And I'm like, man, you are just about wearing shades. And I'm watching your skin just go darker and darker and darker. And it's...
Oh, no.
I just want to fly to Mykonos or wherever she is. Just,
just put a visor on her and run off.
Please stop it. You're so beautiful. Age that gorgeous skin. Anyway, none of my business.
I know. It's just old ladies talking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just old ladies talking. I know, exactly.
Yeah. Although I'm using, I'm talking about going back in time, I'm using the Current Body LED mask. Did I say that last time?
Oh, yeah. How are you liking it?
I think it's doing something.
Really?
Yeah. My skin seems quite unlined, smooth.
Lush.
Like, I've got really bad acne at the moment, which I've had for quite a while, which, you know, that's nothing to do with that. But it's making me feel bad about my face. But I'm looking at the lines around my eyes, I'm like, do you know what? I think it seems to be doing something.
Oh man, I need that on my face right now. I was looking at my face in the mirror today and the lines around my eyes are deep.
They
are
deep.
They are so deep. I just fell down one.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's really bad. But I've just not slept for.
Yeah, that's 10 days. So bad for everything. Yeah.
I reckon I calculated. So I slept last night and it was wonderful. But I calculated in the week before that, I reckon I had maybe 20 hours over 7 days.
Oh my God, that's not good. Oh dear. Yeah. You lose it, don't you? Yeah.
Fucking lose it. You lose it.
Mad.
You cry at anything.
Yeah.
Everything is awful.
Yeah. Dark thoughts.
Dark thoughts. You can't do anything. Yeah, it's really, really bad. I'm quite a teary person. I'll just get teary at anything anyway.
After
a full night's sleep. So I'm just not good.
I was crying. I was watching Bohemian Rhapsody and I was crying that.
Oh, man. Oh, that is a cry fest.
Yeah. Freddie Mercury. It was kind of real, you know?
Did you cry at the Live Aid part? I mean, because that was...
Yeah. Yeah, I did a fair bit of crying all the way through, to be honest.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I was going to cry. Yeah. There's something I wanted to do on the podcast is read out that crazy diet thing that I read.
Oh, yeah.
Can I read that out?
Please do it. Have you got it there?
I got to go find it. The whole book is funny to read.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It was just so 70s anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is it 79? Okay. So this is from the Vogue Body and Beauty book. And it was published in 1978. And they give... there's lots of diets in this book. So there's a list of different crash diets, which are hilarious and terrifying. And, you know, there's a little blurb about the diets. Because diets are, of course, monotonous, but it is the very repetition of certain foods that's proved easier to follow. So that's the thinking behind this diet.
Oh, because life as a 70s woman is hard.
Yes.
So what you need is four things in the fridge.
Yeah.
To keep it simple.
A crash diet may be used as a encouraging preliminary course before a long-term dietary plan. So this diet is recommended for 3 days, and we're not suggesting anyone does this. You will die. You won't just lose weight. You'll lose your life. You'll lose 5 pounds, apparently. And you'll, yeah. Right, so get this now. So breakfast, 1 egg, hard boiled, 1 glass of white wine, dry, preferably Chablis.
So this is after the school run.
Yep. First thing in the morning, and a black coffee. You're allowed a black coffee, no milk.
Is this to wash the Chablis down?
Yeah, you have your Chablis, 1 glass, and then you drink a black coffee. And then at lunchtime, you have 2 eggs. Hard boiled is best, poached if necessary. Why that would make any difference, I don't know.
I love it.
And you follow your 2 eggs with 2 glasses of white wine.
Oh my God, you're battered.
And then black coffee.
And constipated.
You're drunk, you're constipated, you're whirling around. And then dinner is 5 ounces of steak grilled with black pepper and lemon juice and the remainder of the white wine.
So you drink a bottle of wine a day for 3 days.
Yes.
On absolute, on what, 500 calories maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, we're adding the steak in, maybe a couple of hundred. Yeah, so you are so battered. So preferably you've got to check yourself in somewhere because you're not looking after anyone.
No, that's it. Yeah, you've got to be alone.
Do they go into why wine?
No, it doesn't say anything about why it's got to be wine in there as well as the eggs and steak.
And not just that.
No, it doesn't say.
Like, if I had a bottle of wine a day, well, I'd be in hospital anyway because I can't drink anymore. But if I had a bottle of wine a day, I would then be ordering a Domino's straight after.
Yeah, you would lose, after the lunch, you'd lose all concept and you'd be like, oh, sod this, I'm going to have just whatever I want, thanks, love.
Yeah, I'll have those boiled eggs on a friggin' pizza.
Like, imagine what you'd be like on day 3.
Amazing. Will you just be battered? I'm gonna try it.
Maybe it'd be great. Maybe like, oh, actually this is quite the life. I'm an alcoholic.
I'll come
now.
Over. We'll yeah. We'll do it in one evening. We'll just have a steak, eggs,
no
and Chablis evening.
Urge to do any part of this diet at all. It's insane.
That's grim. Yeah.
There's other ones. There's loads of them. Yeah. The crash diet section is the most hilarious part. It's really, really funny. Yeah, there's a wine and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah, but that's just 1 glass of wine with lunch and there's no dinner. Oh, no, you're allowed dinner as well, but it's the same thing. We have cheese, 2 slices of bread. That's fine compared with the egg thing. And then there's one with wine and steak. 2 hard-boiled eggs. Or 4 ounces of grilled steak for breakfast. And then 4 ounces of grilled steak and 1 glass of red wine for lunch. And then 4 ounces of grilled steak.
The woman who wrote this was obviously shagging Mr. Atkins, Dr. Atkins at the time.
I don't know what was going on.
He was like, listen, love, I've got something to tell you. It's explosive.
Yeah.
I know you're a journalist, but please don't print this. And she's like, okay, don't I love you. And he's like, get this, and then tells her, because that is basically the Atkins diet, I think.
It is. I'm sure the Atkins diet doesn't involve a bottle of wine a day.
Yeah, because, you know, sugars. I think possibly when I did it, and I turned into a mega bitch in 2003.
I turned into a mega bitch in 2003.
I had, what's it called, where you have an intervention and my friends intervened.
Oh my God, no, from your Atkins.
Yeah, and they said, you're a cow, eat
you're
a sandwich.
Being a cow.
We can't stand this anymore. But I'm sure we're in like phase 8 of the Atkins, so basically this is the bit you're doing for life. You were allowed some white wine.
White wine, yeah. I don't want to be on a diet at all, ever.
No, but you don't ever need to be.
No.
No one does.
No.
Horrendous
idea. That yeah, I just thought it was really funny that, you know, that it was printed in a book. There's no, like, you know, if you don't feel well, stop. It's just like, this is what you do. It's so funny.
You and I were reading my girl annual talking, yeah. And that was obviously aimed at sort of 12-year-olds talking, yeah, about how no one likes a fatty. So the hatred of, you know, plus size, yeah, people started really young.
Yeah.
For us it didn't. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Women hating themselves, hating, yeah, each other.
I was watching some clips of 90s coverage of women, and that was really bad. Because, oh, we had to contend with, like, the girls on the front of Loaded magazine.
Yeah, there was a lot of thinness in the 90s.
There's a lot of thinness. Yeah, it was just really bad.
Oh, yeah, Loaded. Oh, yeah,
I think it was, like, Posh Spice being interviewed. And then she got weighed. She got weighed on live TV because...
What?
Was his face? Chris Evans was like, have you lost your baby weight yet? She's like, yeah. And he's like, how much do you weigh? And she was like, oh, 8 stone. He's, oh, like, let's, God, weigh you.
Oh, can my, you imagine, God.
Can you fucking imagine? I would just...
I'm shocked.
Well, I'm glad things have changed, but that wasn't... it was a long time ago, but it really wasn't, because that's when we were growing up. So
yeah, it doesn't feel that long ago to me. But
no.
Yeah. No. I'm so glad things have changed.
Yeah. Slowly.
Yeah. Yeah. Bloody hell.
So don't ever do that diet.
No. No. No.
Feel free to have steak, eggs and wine. Obviously.
Yeah, have wine and also, yeah, have lots of food, though,
yeah,
because that, otherwise you'll be ill.
Do you ever get this if you've not drunk, if you've not eaten very much and you've had something to drink?
Mm.
I tend to fall asleep at bedtime and then I will wake up 3 or 4 hours later just,
yeah,
thinking this is terrible, like I just didn't eat. You, no, me and a friend, yeah, we went out. We went to the Ivy in Cardiff,
yeah,
and then we ended up at a heavy metal club.
So yes, we did. It was brilliant. Yeah.
Yep. That was the best part of the night, obviously.
Yeah.
And we drank a lot and mixed our drinks quite a bit. I did anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
And I did feel slightly ropey the next day. That was on a full, full stomach. So I'm very glad that we did that.
Yeah. I think that's the key to doing anything, really, is do it on a full stomach.
Yeah.
Don't do anything hungry. Eat. No. It's, yep, fine. Yeah.
Anyway, that was good. Yeah. Time.
Yeah, it was. It was really good fun. So, yeah. So that's comedogenicity. Don't worry about it too much. And if you want to find out more, then come to skincare. Sorry. Just having a little choking episode. Come to skincarewithfriends.com. We'll have everything that we've just said written out. So if you're interested in all the boring chemicals and the graphs that I've been talking about, it'll all be on there. And come and find us on our socials, Skincare with Friends and Nia Patton and Natalie SWF, I think, isn't,
yep,
it? Yep. And we love hearing from you. We love all your messages. We love people suggesting what we should do next. Well, I keep getting suggestions for what we should replace hyalamide with. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Soz.
I know.
Yeah, maybe I'll try and find Dukes.
It is irreplaceable.
It kind of really is, really, I think. Is. Yeah.
I just watch this space for whatever Deciem come out with afterwards, because they're not going to just throw all those lovely formulations on a scrap.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks with something new.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you. We appreciate you very much.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.